Toplin. Praise God. Floods of joy o'er my soul. Lothal Toplin, praise God. Like the sea billows roll since Jesus came into my heart. Amen. Praise God. Verse 2. I have seen my one. Set me free for all eternity when his wounded hand touched my praise God.
Thank you. and set me free for all eternity. When His word at hand touched mine.
One more time.
When His word at hand touched mine. When His word at hand touched mine. Jesus set me free.
Just bow our heads again, praise God. Heavenly Father, we bow before you this evening in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you, even as our brother said, it's so good to be saved. Saved from hell the whole way to heaven. Transformed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, heirs with God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Lord, I take authority over every work of the devil, over every home, over every life, over this building, over this area. In the name of Jesus Christ, I plead the power of your blood and the moving of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Lord, we speak those things that are not as though they were. Strength to the navel, marrow to the bones, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray you'll touch everyone that needs your touch. Touch your sister Winifred this evening. Touch her throat, touch her body. Give her your strength, your healing, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, for ours tonight, for Davy Jones, give him a good report. In Jesus' mighty name. And for young David, touch him, O God, from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, in the name of Jesus. Lord, your word is blessed. Bless us again with it. Move upon us, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. I take the Holy Ghost, and I thank you, Lord, you do undertake for me. Have thy way, I pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. We're going to read in a moment from John 14, verse 13. And tonight I want to talk a little bit about how important is prayer. How important is prayer? And I just feel the Lord showing me some things about prayer, and I want to be sharing them. You know, on Sunday morning, a couple came. I was meant to be preaching on the tabernacle, but I just couldn't preach on it in the morning. I felt to preach in prayers, you know. And the man rang me several days later. I actually was at his house a couple of days ago, and he says, you know, there's something what he was reading himself, studying about, and God really challenged him on Sunday morning and spoke to him. And the devil wants us to think God doesn't answer and God doesn't hear us. But I want you to know that God does hear us. Amen. And when the weakest of the weak begin to pray, the devil trembles. Amen. Old W.P. Nicholson said, he says, you'll find when you set time to pray and seek God, the door will start knocking. Maybe in more modern time, the phone will start messaging and ringing. Everybody wants you when you start to pray. But if you weren't praying, you wouldn't hear from anybody. That's how it works. That's the devil. Amen. But there is a time to close off, close in, and get alone with the Lord. Amen. John 14, verse 13 says, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. It doesn't say I think about it, but he says I will do. Amen. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. So there is the will, there's the glorifying, and there's the Son's name. We'll look at that later. James 4 verse 2 says, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain,
Ye fight war, and ye cannot have, because you ask not. And the devil wants us not to ask. He wants to convince God's people it's too difficult, God's too busy, or it's too simple, or it's too big. But you ever see the advertisement that a fellow advertises, a handyman or a man that works around places, and sometimes they have it on their van or their wee car? There's no job too big, and there's no job too small. Well, I want to tell you, with the Lord, there's no job too big, and there's no job too small. He heard a missionary that prayed for a pair of shoelaces, and they were posted to their depot where she was staying. Shoelaces. Amen. Reinhard Bonnke was walking down the street one day, and he was in need of financial money and things, and he was praying to God, and the Spirit of God moved him what he would pray for, and he asked God for 1,000,000 souls, and the Lord gave him 1,000,000 souls. And that everybody that knows Reinhard Bonnke know that God mightily used him. If you've ever heard his life story, he preached in a tent in Africa, played an accordion, and his wife was with him, and there's maybe 40, 50, 100 people. Just wee small meetings went on like that for a long time. But then he went to the conference, and at that conference there was a man, he actually looked like my dad, with a beard and the build of my dad, and everything just looked like my dad. And he prophesied over Reinhard Bonnke at that conference. And the Spirit of God said, God will no more hold back, in other words, but he's going to give you an anointing on one man that will be on 100. Or else it was 1,000. It was quite. Now, I know some people say I don't believe that, but it'll make no difference why you do or not. God done it. So if you don't believe it, don't worry about it. That's just how I look at things like that. But there's one sure thing I can tell you, God anointed him. And when he went back out to Africa, it was no more the 25 and the 30. The tents became too small. They had the largest tent ever built. And it was too small. And he preached to multitudes. And I met a man one time, and he was in jail 2 miles away. 2 miles away from the meeting. And he heard the gospel through loudspeaker when Bonnke preached, and he got saved and delivered. He was a jailbird. And he became a pastor and a preacher. And God, you want to hear the testimonies he was telling. Amen. The people he was seeing saved. And he was one of the conversions. Amen. God is able to answer prayer. Amen. The important thing is to pray. How important it is to pray. Listen to me. On this thing this evening. There's some things God will do if we ask him. There's some things God will do if we ask him. And he will do it. If we don't ask him, we know that. So there's some things God will do if we ask him, and some things God will do anyhow if we don't ask him. And many people carelessly say, well, whatever's going to happen, will happen. Have many of you ever heard that? Whatever's going to happen, it's happened, and there's nothing you can do about it. Well, that's not really true. That's true, partly. But that's not a full truth. And I'm going to prove to you from the Word of God that that's not a full truth. Because Jesus would not ask us to pray if prayer didn't change anything. Why would he tell us to ask what you will? If you weren't going to, if it's going to happen. Anyhow, I went to visit a man, he was dying. And I went to visit him, I'm not sure what group he belonged to. He believed in the limited atonement. He believed there's only a certain number that's going to be saved. And after that, no more could save. He didn't believe in appealing. He didn't believe in hand raising. He didn't really believe in anything. And I went to lay hands on him and pray for him, and God raised him out of the hospital, and he wouldn't even let me pray for him, in case it might be God's will for him to heal. And he died. He died in the hospital. And I don't believe he had to die. And I told him, I don't agree with you. That's limited this and limited that. It's unscriptural. And I don't care what statements you have and what wee verses you pluck out and isolate them. My Bible says it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should be saved. Paul the Apostle, the master of the first church, says, I pray daily that Israel might be saved. Was he out of God's will praying that? I don't think so. Now you and me know, God knows who's going to come, but the thing is, me and you's not God. And people need to stop playing God and catch themselves on and know they're not God. They might be a son of God and born again, we believe all that. But it's ultimately God that's doing it. But we can pray and God can change things. God wants us to pray. You don't have to just take it as it is. It is what it is. But there's nothing you can do now. It is what it is. That means a drunken son will remain a drunkard the rest of his day. No. That's one thing I won't accept. God can change him. Because God has given me a right to pray in his name. In his will to glorify the Father. Not to glorify me. But to glorify the Father. Hallelujah. So I believe it. That is, you know, it's just partially the truth. Look at the words of Jesus himself. In John 14, verse 14, Jesus says, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Is that the word of God? Anything in my name will do it. I'm going to tell you something this evening. Now, we believe in prayer. I know we believe in prayer. On Sunday night, a brother Matthew came. He asked me before the service, could he be prayed for? I don't know if you saw Matthew's face on Sunday night, but his face was swelled, wasn't it, sister? His face was physically swelled, you could see it, but it's not swelled tonight. Amen. Because God touched him on Sunday night. Amen. Now the devil tried to work on him all night that he hadn't touched him. But that made no difference. You know, William Branham said one time, he said, when people get prayed for, many times they feel worse afterwards. But he said, that's a sure sign that that which is trying to live in you is dying. Yes. And your body's trying to get rid of it. That's a sure sign you're healing to be feeling worse. Because the body's rejecting it and wants to get rid of it. But the devil wants to convince people on their feeling that you don't feel healed. What is feeling healed? What's feeling saved? Now, we know you can feel the Holy Ghost. Now you can feel it. And I thank God for it, but I don't go on what I feel. I go on the Word of God. And the Word of God says, call the elders of the church, anoint with oil, the prayer of faith, and save the sick. And that's what we did on Sunday night. And the Lord touched your brother and others as well. Got a touch from God. Amen. Amen. Ask what you will in my name. And I'll think about it. It doesn't say that. It says, I will do it. Now we should write that down somewhere at the top of the page. I will do it. And then tomorrow morning when you get up, the devil says it's not happening. You need to say, I will do it. Who? God. Says, I will do it. I will do it. It is what it is. No, I will do it. God will do it. James plainly says, you do not have because you ask not. I want you to see a surprising discovery. And I wrote this out this evening today. I went away up by myself. Wasn't working or anything today. I had time to just wait in the Lord. If you were to study the Gospels and the healing miracles of Jesus Christ, in most cases where they happened, it was people came to Jesus. They came seeking him for healing. Now, we know about that the Lord went about doing good and healing all of our sick and oppressed of the devil. We know that. But when you study the four Gospels, in most cases, the people came to Jesus for healing. And the Lord healed them. The Gospel is showing us that we need to come, and if we do come, God will do it. And if God can do it then, God will do it now, because Jesus Christ is, Hebrews 13, verse 8, the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is, Malachi 3, verse 6, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. Whatever he done before, he'll do again. If he ever opened the blinded eyes, he can do it again. If he ever stopped the deaf ear, he can do it again. God can do it again. And even I think it was a brother John prayed the other week. Even raise the dead if need be. God can do it again. Amen. We need to be believing that. That God can do it again. Hallelujah. Bartimaeus cried so long and so loud before Jesus stopped to listen, that the crowd told him to shut his mouth up.
Amen. Oh, it's too, isn't he far too loud? It's too short, it's too long, it's too loud. It's too this, too that, too something else. For goodness, you know, glory to God, and it's great to hear something.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Like Paisley said, don't stop them. It took them long enough to get started. Amen. Let me read you Mark 10, verse 46 to 52. And they come to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho, and his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried more a great deal.
So when the devil wants you to keep quiet, yes, go the harder. Yes. Are you hearing this? Yes.
I hope your ears is open. Yes. Hit the mics out. Yes. Amen. Yes. An old preacher once said, we need a real good gospel going that clips the wax out of our ears that we can hear.
But the devil doesn't want you to cry out to the Lord.
And not just all of them in church, I'm told, but when you're away by yourself at home and someone's gone wrong or something's happening, you as a Christian, if somebody with you called Jesus, he's closer than the breath you breathe. He's a friend that's sticking closer than brother. You can kneel down and call him on the same. And his ear is ever open to your cry. That's the word of God. But the devil wants you to keep quiet. God doesn't want you to keep quiet. He wants you to shout it out. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Bible says there was a noise in the camp. Amen. There was a going in the mulberry trees. The sound of the abundance of rain. Hallelujah. He cried out, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still. Oh, I could preach a sermon on these three words. He stood still.
The Lord stood still because he cried out.
Hallelujah. What did he do? This man, because he was consistent
in that he didn't hear what they were saying to him, he ignored the crowd because he needed Jesus. He ignored all the gainsayers.
And he cried to the Lord,
and Jesus stood still.
I tell you, something was going to happen here when the Lord stopped and stood still. Oh, I would that it stand still in this meeting for a moment tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I tell you, and he stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. Glory to God. And he casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Hallelujah. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Complete. Here's what the rest of it says. And immediately. Not a week later. Immediately. He received his sight and followed Jesus in the way.
Hallelujah. But he cried out to the Lord.
Jesus didn't walk over to him, but he went to where Jesus was. We can go to where Jesus is at because we have access to the Father through Jesus Christ the righteous. He's the high priest that can be touched to the feeling of our infirmities. We've been given a name that's above every name. The name of Jesus is above every name. And we can access the throne of God by that name. And when we pray to him, if you can get him to stand still, he'll do something for you. Someone that the doctor says is impossible, he can do it. He can do it. I know God can do it. Look at the Syrophoenician woman before healing her daughter in Matthew 15, verse 21 to 28. And Jesus went thence and departed to the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Verse 22, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter's grievously vexed with the devil. And he answered her, not a word.
Do you remember the week I preached when God says no, what do you do? This is the same text. When God says no, what do? Keep on coming.
Don't take no for an answer. Are you hearing me tonight? Don't take no for an answer. It's not possible he can live, but God says he can. It's not possible that she can recover, but God says she can.
Amen. You're going to live and not die.
Amen.
And see the goodness of the Lord.
Amen.
In the land of the living. Why? Because the Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Speak those things that are not as though they were. Believe it, receive it.
Right. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
This woman, she didn't stop. Verse 23, but he answered her not a word. And his disciples came, besought her, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you think you're a sticking point, start praising him. Can you hear me? If you think it's just a sticking point, begin to praise him. Begin to tell the Lord you love him.
Amen.
Magnify the name of the Lord. And I'll tell you, Jesus will come on the scene. Jenko said that one time he went in a meeting and he just started lifting his hands up and saying, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. And he just kept saying it. And the power of God fell. And people started getting delivered. The Lord wants us to praise him. Amen. Praise and prayer come hand in hand. This woman worshipped him. She worshipped him. And she worshipped him. And look what he says to her. But he answered and said unto her, it's not meat to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dog eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour.
She saw him.
And even when it was a refusal, she didn't give up.
Amen.
This is why it's so important to pray. Brother, I'm not hearing from God. Somebody ever come to you and said, I don't seem to be hearing from God. Well, if you're hearing the word of God, you're hearing from God. God might not audibly speak to you in an audible voice, and he might. You might not see a light, and you might. But God is speaking to you from his word right now. The word of God is God speaking. God's word is God's will. God's word is God's way. God's word is a light that lighten up the way before us. Hallelujah. The woman with the issue of blood in Luke 8, verse 43 to 48. And you know, she had a blood issue for 12 years. Now, I'm reading you deliberately these scriptures to prove to you that they went to Jesus. To show you that we need to go to him. And here's another woman, and there's a multitude around him. He's thronging. People are definitely brushing by the Lord, aren't they? But this woman touches him in faith. And he turns around and said, who touched me? And the disciple says, there's a multitude around you. Oh, but he says, virtue's gone from me. This woman touched him different than the rest.
Amen.
She touched him in faith. She touched him believing. You need to touch God believing in faith. Situation will change right around. The Bible said her blood issue dried up. Hallelujah. It dried up. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith have made thee whole. Go in peace. Amen. Go in peace. Isn't that wonderful? Look back to our text for a moment, and I won't be much longer. John 14, 12 to 14. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. Because I go unto the Father. You know, there's one thing we're going to do that Jesus himself didn't do and can't do. Now, it's not a bad thing that he can't do it. It's a good thing. But we're going to be able to do something. You know what that is? What the brother mentioned at the start. We're going to say, saved by grace. Saved by grace, we are saved by the grace of God. The Lord has saved us with his grace. That's the greatest miracle there is. God wants us to pray for our children, for our wives, for our sons, for our daughters. God wants us to get a hold of heaven in prayer. Pray to me.
And speak over them, they're going to come. And speak over them that God's going to bless them. Don't be negative, be positive. In prayer and in faith, and believe God that He's going to turn them around. Pray the Holy Spirit will speak a word into their innermost being that God in the night time will weaken them and convict them of sin and turn them on to self. The Lord can do it. Amen. If God can save me and you, He can save anybody. Amen? Now there's a supreme motive, and I'm going to close when I mention these few thoughts. The supreme motive. Many times even preachers, you know, when God answers prayer, we think, you know, we had a wee part in it. But we didn't. It was God. Amen. And you know the supreme motive should be? There's three things. The will of God, the name of Jesus, and to glorify God. The motive should be that we're to glorify God. Amen. Jesus Christ came to glorify the Father. The Holy Spirit in you is to glorify God. That's what we come for, to glorify God. And when we see God save someone, heal someone, deliver someone, it's to glorify God. Hallelujah. Didn't Jesus say, the glory which I had with thee before the world began? Amen. To glorify God. The Father may be glorified. This is and should always be the supreme motive of all prayers, to glorify God. Not that we get up and think we're something. It's to glorify God. The big deal about prayer is not that we get what we ask for. That's not the big thing about it. But that God is glorified in our getting. That's the thing about it. When God answers prayer, God is glorified. Hallelujah! This should always be our plumb line, to glorify God. Amen. You know what a plumb line is? Keeps you straight in the wall. Line upon line, precept upon precept. God gives us a plumb line. And our plumb line should be to glorify God. Not ourselves. Not a man. But God. The will of God. That's what we need to be doing. In the name of Jesus and to glorify God. We're praying. We're on praying ground. Good ground. When we're asking God what God actually wants. Now follow me for a moment before I close. We're in good ground when we're praying what God actually wants to do. Now here's what God wants to do. 1 Timothy 2 verse 3 to 4. And I've just two scriptures and I'm closing. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. Where's the limit there? Where's the restriction there? Oh, but somebody says, brother, we believe we've passed the dispensation where healing no longer takes place. And like people's been prayed for and they all don't get healed. Well, were you ever on a mission and everybody got saved that went till it all at once? Maybe some of you were, but I was never at one like that. You know where there could be 300 or 400 on it and everybody all got saved at once.
You know, maybe only one or two could save, or maybe more. But the fellow preaching didn't stop preaching because they all didn't come the first night. Right. He continued with a mission. Yeah. And I know old brethren preachers, after 3 or 4 weeks preaching, if somebody was getting saved, they would still continue for another 3 or 4 weeks. And then we only see a few saved that keep going. Because the pastor's Spirit of God was leading them.
But why is it nobody wants to pray for the sick? When the same Bible says in Mark 16, verse 18, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's the same word of God. The same one that wants to save wants to heal. I'm in the will of God when I'm doing it. I know I am, because the word is His will. Amen. Oh, but such the one didn't get healed, but what about the one that did get healed? That's never mentioned. Sure it's not. Oh, but such the one never gets saved. But what about the fellow that did get saved?
And he's giving his testimony now around everywhere. What about him? Never mentioned. Yeah, that's right. The devil wants to bring up the negative. There's too many false preachers about. Right.
And they've taught people in this country for years a half gospel. That's right. But not a full gospel. gospel. But the Word of God gives us a full, four-square gospel. The Book of Acts is our blueprint. And God's brought us back and given us the restoration back to the full truth. Not the truth. The full truth, Savior, healer, baptizer in the Holy Ghost. And the coming King.
Coming again. Some don't want to hear, but the rapture either not. Oh, we're going through the tribulation. Well, go ahead. I'm not.
I have no notion of it. The Lord's taken me. How do you know? 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we,
which are alive and remain, shall be called up,
meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Why would I want to go through tribulation when Romans 8 says there's now no condemnation, tribulation, to them that are in Christ Jesus? We're redeemed from it. Amen. And the Lord's coming for you. I want you to know that tonight the Lord's coming for you. And I don't care where you are, he'll take you. You'll be going. Amen. You're leaving. Glory to God, you're leaving. And like a brother John once said, you know, we're not the flying out, but we're going. You know, I was dreaming the other night and I was going everywhere.
I couldn't explain it to you. I was moving anywhere I wanted. I just thought and I went. And there's people trying to follow me and they couldn't do it. And
they tried to catch me and they couldn't do it and I would just go. It was an amazing dream.
And I would just go, traveling everywhere, just like a thought. I would think of where I'm going and I was there. Amen. You say, brother, you're beside yourself. No.
The Bible says that there was a certain one joined himself to an Ethiopian eunuch on a chariot
with a compass in it.
God translated him. Never got a horse or a plane or a boat or nothing, but God moved them. He moved them from one place to the other place.
We need to get back to the Bible supernatural.
And we need to have a mindset on a supernatural God with supernatural ability, supernatural authority that does supernatural acts, because the Bible says in the last days, those that know their God shall be strong. And they shall do exploits. Amen. That's the word of God. Hallelujah. We're going to come and pray tonight. Praise God. I hope you're encouraged tonight. Important to pray. God hears and answers prayer. Isn't it wonderful that the Lord can save? Don't be afraid to pray. You know, you know of a sister, and I went down and preached for them and everything. Wife of a pastor. And when I preached on healing, three services, the time of the lockdown, into their church, that woman said she never heard it like that before. And she changed her whole mind on the whole subject, and the Lord touched her. Amen. And the doctors gave her up and said she should have been dead, but she's still living. She's still here. Hallelujah. God is able to do it. Glory to God. Let's pray this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that you are the God of the Bible. A supernatural book with a supernatural God behind it. With supernatural exploits. With supernatural vindication. Father, I pray this evening that you will lift our expectations far higher than they're at. Lord, that we'll think of the impossible that can be done. Lord, your word says that you will do exceedingly, abundantly, far above what we can think or even ask you. Lord, I'm praying most of all for the salvation of our loved ones. For every single son and daughter, husband and wife and relative that's represented in this house tonight. Lord, we claim the blood of Jesus Christ over every one of them. Devil, you are a liar. You were conquered and defeated at Calvary by the blood and resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. daddy. He has the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He stripped you and rendered you powerless. And we're coming in his name, the name that's above every name. And we're praying for the salvation, household salvation. Oh God, we pray you'll move. Move upon the man, the woman, the boy, the girl, in the name of Jesus Christ. Heal people. Deliver them. Fill them with the Holy Ghost, I pray, and fire. Oh, Lord, let your presence come in these meetings in a greater way. Yes, we've felt your presence, Lord, but we want more. More of you. I've had it all. But what I need is more of you. Amen. Fill every fiber of our beings with the Holy Ghost on fire. We yield ourselves to the moving of the Holy Ghost tonight. Release your anointed and bring your anointing upon your people in the name of Jesus. Let the anointing power of God go upon us this evening and in our homes and upon all that's near and dear to us. May they feel and know a liberation. Amen. We think again of John Deal tonight. Lord, I pray for that man that you'll move on him. Oh God, do something upon him, I pray. May he know the Holy Ghost coming on him. Speak to him, oh God, deliver him and save him and heal him. In the name of Jesus. And my auntie, Lord Florence, and all the different relatives, save every one of them. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, and we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. This we ask in Jesus' name. Bless us tonight. Inspire men and women to pray prayers of faith. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. And Sunday morning, our brother John's going to be preaching, in case I forget to mention it. And pray for the meetings. God bless each one.